couple of years ago, there was a popular little video that was floating around about a woman who had a fake nail stuck to her head and her husband who was sitting there, and the way that they carried on this conversation, where his aim was to get the nail out of her head and her aim was just to get him to listen. I'm going to share with you some thoughts on that today that may surprise you.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Life's Key 3 episode. I am thrilled that you are here. When this episode originally airs, it is back to school time here in the United States. And I want to remind you that there is a book for educators and parents and mentors and anybody who works with, is trying to raise, or just cares about the upcoming generation, specifically for adolescents, basically about those kids in the 12 to 24 years of age category. It's called The Great Brain Remodel of Adolescents, How Contractors and Alligators Empower Understanding, Ages 12 to 24. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But the book is not. As a matter of fact, it's a short and savvy guide, which means that I have packed a wealth of information written in an engaging way into its pages. You don't have to plow through 685 pages in order to get information that can make a transformative difference in how you understand, parent, and educate adolescents. You can find that on Amazon. You can also go to my website, stephaniepresents.com, and there are two different ways that you can order that book. You can click on the information. It'll take you to my sister site, Key 3 Press. You can also just go directly to Key 3 Press if you want. And you can order that from Amazon, or you can order that from Ingram Spark. Either way, it is delivered straight to your door. Well, last week we began a mini series on being relationally smart. And we talked about expectations, and we're going to cover that a little bit more in depth this week, but it's going to be in the framework of talking about stereotypes and solution mindsets. And these aren't three disjointed, disconnected topics. They're all intertwined. And I'm going to begin by talking about stereotypes, and specifically about the video that I referenced in the very beginning of this podcast. Now, it's very possible that you have not seen the video that I am talking about. So just in case you're one of the people who haven't seen that, the video goes like this. There's a woman sitting on a sofa, and she has what looks to be a nail stuck in her head. Now, if that grosses you out, don't worry. It wasn't real. Okay. It was just stuck on like with some sort of adhesive. It wasn't a real nail. They were trying to use this to make a point, not to inflict any physical harm. And her husband is there with her, and she's just talking about this problem. And he is pretty distracted because his focus is, I just want to get that nail off of your head, and she won't let him because she wants to just keep talking. Now, let me say this first of all about the video. I am not offended by it. Okay. So this is not a rant. I'm not like, that's a horrible video and it should never have seen the light. Okay. That is not what I am saying. I understand the point that was being made, and yet I'm still not a fan. Why not? Because it plays to a stereotype. And here's the thing about stereotypes. They are powerful because they contain an aspect of truth. Now, there is a difference between categorizing a group of people in ways that have no truth whatsoever. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about pure racism. I am not talking about anything that would be connected to that and how we categorize any particular group of individuals. But when we talk about stereotypes, we are talking about making a creating a belief system about an individual or a group of people that does have some truth to it. And anytime that something has truth to it, that makes it all the more dangerous when it is not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There is a reason why in the United States of America that if you are sworn in to testify in a court trial, you're not just asked or told or required that you have to promise to tell the truth. There is a reason why those other two phrases are added, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because we all know that it's entirely possible to say something that's technically true, but we also know that the omission of something else or the way that we have phrase something creates a different perception than what the person on the other end believes. And stereotypes are dangerous because they have enough truth to them that if we rail against them or if we try to work in opposition to them, then it looks like we're saying, oh, there's no truth to that whatsoever. So it's like with this video. Again, am I offended by it? No. But do I think it is the best representation? No. Does it carry a kernel of truth? Yes. But here's why I don't like it. First of all, it makes the assumption that a woman's primary need in communication is just to express her feelings. Now, I am of the female variety, and I have lived quite a long time, and I have a wide range of people in the female category that I know and that many that I have known for a long time, and I know very closely. Is there a time and a place when all we want to do is express our feelings? Yes. That isn't just because we're female. That is because we are biologically wired for expression. There is a process in the brain that when we give language to a conflict, when we give language and voice to something that is upsetting us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that actually creates a physical tension in our bodies that is released to some degree or another when we are able to speak about it to a caring person in a supportive environment. That isn't just true for women, though. Men also have that same wiring. Now, how they communicate, again, I'm speaking in generalities here, not trying to be stereotypes with individuals, but to be able to say that they also have this need to express themselves. What is also true is that biologically, it is harder for a man to express, to identify and express his emotions. That doesn't make his need to do that any less. It actually makes it more important because biologically, just the way that the brain is wired, it is more of a process. It's more difficult to be able to do that. Most of the time when women have problems, they actually want to solve them. They don't want to just yap on and on and on about them. They want to solve them. Now, I have lived long enough to know that there are plenty of people, men and women, who don't want to solve problems. And we're going to talk about solution mindsets here in a little bit. but for people of maturity. It's not just about, I want to yap on, or I want to talk, or I want to vent. When there are real problems and real conflicts, mature women want to solve them. They don't want to stay in a spin cycle, just going around the same thing over and over and over again. And when we portray women as, oh, they're just emotional and they just need to keep talking about something, we do them a great disservice. The other part of that stereotype is that it portrays the man as all he wants to do is to help fix the problem. Have you heard that before? A woman just, you know, she just wants to talk, and the wonderful guy over there, he just wants to help her to fix that problem because he's Mr. Fix It. But you know, what he has to do is he has to learn to just back off and to just listen because she doesn't need him to fix it. Again, is there a kernel of truth to that? Yes. But is it the whole truth and nothing but the truth? No, it is not. Because you see, sometimes the reason the guy wants to fix something is really for his benefit, not his wife's. Now, I'm talking here in terms of primarily a marital relationship, but this applies to all kinds of relationships. It's not just those between husbands and wives. So think of other ways in which the application of this works in other relationships. Sometimes he wants to, going along with this video analogy, get the nail out of his wife's head because he just doesn't want to be bothered with it. He's got things to do. He doesn't want to have to enter into the complexity of a problem. So let's just rip this off and let's just move on because I don't want to be bothered with that. And when we portray men as nothing but these good-hearted guys who just want to come along and help the poor woman to solve everything, we do a disservice to both the men and the women. You see, stereotypes excuse laziness. If I meet someone and I play to a stereotype, I excuse the laziness of having to enter into a conversation with them. I can justify not taking the time, not expending the energy to ask questions, to investigate. Why bother with that when I can just fall back on a stereotype? The other thing that stereotypes do is they hinder growth and maturity. If I can just put somebody in a box that's got a label on it and it has like a list of ingredients, like, okay, here's the truth about this person because of their gender, because of their religious affiliation, because of their political affiliation, because of their age, because of their career, because of their socioeconomic status, because of their race, because of their country of origin. I mean, whatever it is, we have all kinds of different stereotypes. Then I don't have to step outside of myself in order to see what is this person's real needs. What is their heart? And so stereotypes excuse our laziness, and laziness and growth never go hand in hand in any aspect of life. Laziness and maturity never go hand in hand. A third component of stereotypes is that they rely on assumptions rather than knowledge. You know, all throughout the Bible, and especially in the book of Proverbs, we read over and over again verses that say, get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding. Search for it like gold and like silver. Value knowledge and wisdom and discernment more than the rarest of jewels. The Bible does not say collect assumptions. Doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say collect stereotypes, make assumptions, and then that's how you go through life, is by applying those to the people that you meet. Knowledge and wisdom and discernment is impossible when we excuse ourselves to rely on stereotypes. And stereotypes aren't just about the people out there. We can allow stereotypes to influence how we treat people within our own families, within our own churches, within our own schools, and with communities, in our personal relationships. It's just easy to dismiss, they're just emotional. Oh, they're just lazy. Oh, they're just disconnected. Oh, they just don't care. Oh, that they just don't understand. Whatever it is, right? So we want to really evaluate the stereotypes, and especially those ones that, like the video that I've referenced, have enough truth to them and can even be funny and humorous and entertaining, that we bite that apple, that fruit, and we don't realize what it is that we are really swallowing. So instead of stereotypes, what do we need instead? We need a solution mindset. You know, last week, as I talked about expectations and that real relational progress is made when we get to the level of expectations. And so many of the communication techniques that we have been taught, that we read about, it's not that they're bad. They have their purpose. It's just that they're insufficient, because they don't get down to the foundational level. You know, I know some people right now who are house shopping, and they have gone and looked at all kinds of different houses. And fortunately for them, they have a person that they know who has a lot of years of experience in foundation work on buildings. And so they are able to have this individual come over, and they are able to find out what's the true state of this foundation. Because foundations can have huge problems that you cannot see just by observation. Obviously, there are those foundations that you walk in and you stand there in the basement. You can go, you know, I really don't think I'm supposed to be seeing daylight out the side of a wall when there's not a window or a door there. Think we got a problem. I mean, those are the kinds of things that are obvious. But if a corner of a house has settled like 3 inches, you can't usually tell that just if you're looking or even walking around the house. And so expectations are like the foundation level of our life. This is where what we really believe about what we owe others, what we owe to God, and what we are owed to, what others owe us, and yes, even what we think God might owe us, we get really honest about that. That's the level from where we live. Unfortunately, it's not always the level from which we communicate. But a solution mindset works from the level of expectations, not from the level of communication. You see, if I'm going to solve a problem, really solve a problem, then I have to get down to identify, like, what's the actual problem to be solved? Now, I know that's kind of a, well, duh, but here's the thing. So much of the time in our relationships, we never clearly identify the problem we're actually solving. We talk around it, we talk about it, we talk about our feelings about it or how it's affecting us, but we never actually identify the problem. When we get to the level of expectations, however, we identify problems, and that allows us then to identify and come up with solutions. The second characteristic and benefit of a solution mindset is it focuses on shaping the future rather than replaying the past. Now, hear me on this one. This does not mean that when someone is bringing up something from the past, that they are not being solution-minded. You can be 100% solution-minded, and you can still need to be talking about things from the past. This is why we have to refuse stereotypes, because we can turn even something like this into a stereotype. We can take this general truth that a solution mindset is looking more about how we can shape the future than just replaying the past, and say, oh, well, I guess that means if you're talking about the past again, then you're not being solution-minded. And what have we done there? Well, we've just created a stereotype. We've taken something that has enough truth to it that it seems like then everything else that we've layered onto it is also true, but that is not the case. And again, it gets back to expectations. You know, one of the reasons that we do look at the past is because it is true that the future is rationally predictable based on what we have experienced in the past. But that does that mean that we cannot have a different future that's a little or a lot different than the past? Well, of course that it doesn't mean that. But there is a difference between hoping that the future is somehow just going to magically change because we want it to, or even because somebody else says that they want it to, and having a plan on how that is going to happen. And this is a difference sometimes in relationships, is that we have to be able to not just talk about our aspirations, we have to be able to talk about our plan on how those aspirations are going to become aligned with actions. Third, a solution mindset energizes us because it develops our agency, our ability to make choices and to take ownership of our lives. When we exercise our greatest power, which is the ability to choose in a responsible way, it does for our emotional, mental, and spiritual state what physical exercise does for our body. We feel good. Just like when we exercise physically, our bodies feel good. Now, that doesn't mean they always feel good. I mean, there can be some pain, some discomfort associated with exercise. But overall, the overall benefit to us when we exercise physically is good. It is strengthening. It is empowering. And it's the same way when we exercise our human agency, our responsibility, our ownership, our ability to act, because the more that we align with how God has created us, which is that we are people who have the ability to make choices, and we have incredible power, not infinite power. The same time that we are incredibly powerful, we are also amazingly fragile. Both of those are true. But when we refuse to act like victims or helpless, we move into a solution mindset. Okay, so focus on living and communicating from the level of expectations. Refuse stereotypes, whether it is about the masses of people out there or it's about the people living in your own home or that you're going to school with or church with or that you go into the office with. And adopt and commit to living with a solution mindset. You don't need to get stuck in a spin cycle. Don't allow your life to be wasted by rehashing something. Learn from some things. Have a plan. Move forward. That is a way to become, to get a PhD in being relationally smart. All right, my friend, that's going to wrap us up for today. If you haven't already, go to the website, stephaniepresents.com. Sign up for my weekly newsletter, High Impact. It's just filled with helpful resources and articles and just a variety of different things over time that will help you, because you do have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.